I think I may claim to be entirely 100% Scotch, because amongst my paternal grandparents, I have inherited genes from the clans Mackay, Macpherson, Murray, Matheson, Sutherland, and MacDonald, and from my mother's side, from the Lindsays and the Scott. Hello, Alison and Murray. Granny has for some time been urging me to put on tape some record of my ancestry and early boyhood. Here goes. From my father, I have inherited genes from a number of Highland clans, namely from the Mackays, Macphersons, Murrays, Mathesons, Sutherlands, and MacDonalds, all from the southeast corner of Sutherlandshire, while from my mother I have inherited genes emanating from the clan Lindsay and Scott. On my mother's side, the ancestry is traced back mainly to an unknown Lindsay weaver who lived in Paisley. He had a son, John Lindsay, who was born in about 1800 and married a Miss Janet Scott in 1824 at Paisley. His family included my grandfather, Robert Lindsay, who was born in 1837 and was a craftsman of high repute, a foreman, upholsterer, and carpenter. He, in turn, married my grandmother, Mary Jack. It gives me great pleasure to visit Perth, where my cousin John Lindsay lives, and see the workman's tools, hammers, chisel, screwdrivers, and so on, belonging to this expert craftsman, Robert Lindsay. About him, I have many vivid memories. The most striking is that he retired at the age of about 60, or at the very latest 65, and I think had breakfast in bed brought to him by his daughter, my Aunt Jessie, for something like the next 20 years. I was quite a friend of his because in 1911 he often took me to the exhibition where I got samples from various chocolate and other firms. I made a mistake about the date. Actually, it was the 1901 exhibition when I was 5 years of age. My father's ancestry is easy to trace because they always were tenants of land, in contradistinction to the Lindsays, who were living in towns such as Paisley and Glasgow, and from time to time were changing their addresses. On my father's side, it is worth recording that we trace back to the earliest three William Murrays, who in turn all lived in Strathfleet in Sutherlandshire at a croft named Ruine or Achillea, A-C-H-E-I-L-D-H. One of these Murrays is today recorded by name as being between the age of 16 and 60 and judged fit after examination by the parish minister to serve as a soldier for the government in the rebellion of Prince Charles Edward. I think it unlikely that he saw much, if any, soldiering, but at any rate, we know of his existence. He was followed by a son called John Murray, number one John. In turn, John Murray married Anne Sutherland. I've been in touch with descendants of the Sutherland family. They're very careful people. And one is still resident in Laird. And I visit him from time to time. He has one pet word, which I always enjoy when he uses it. For example, will you have a whiskey, whatever? And when I say, yes, I will have one, he would say, now, how much water would you like, whatever? And I indicate the strength. Then there was a Donald Matheson, who was the son of a Hugh Matheson, who was born on the hillside at a croft called Craigcillisey in Strathfleet, or which runs down to Strathfleet. He married Helen MacDonald of Riarker, about whom I know nothing. Donald Matheson's father came from Torball, a few miles to the east, while Helen MacDonald's father came from Sheness on Loch Shin. John Murray was an obstinate old chap, and there are several stories recounted about him. These are recorded by me in the family history. He had a pretty big family, and included in that family was my great-grandfather, who was John Murray II. He dates from 1777 to 1866. He was a crofter and a builder and had considerable skills associated with farming in a minor way. At one period, he came to Glasgow with his family of six children, and his wife was pregnant at the time. He found Glasgow an evil place, and they all trekked back to Sutherland, where he remained for the rest of his life. He had a daughter called Janet Murray. She was my grandmother on my father's side. And a very fine type of woman, although I never saw her. Her dates are 1826 to 1895. I had the pleasure, Murray, of taking you up to the graveyard at Rogart and showing you the very fine memorial stone erected in memory of these grandparents of mine by a nephew whom they had befriended, who had made money and had retired at an early date. Janet Murray married my grandfather William Mackay, whose dates are 1826 to 1907. Both William and Janet were crofters at Aisdale, some 3 miles above Bonner Bridge. They had a small house or bothy with a room at each side and a little chamber between these two principal rooms. There was an upstairs room or attic, an unusual feature in the district. Next to the house, but adjoining it, touching it, was a byre in which either a horse or a cow could be stabled. The croft was a small one, consisting only of some 4 acres or so of pasturage. There was a tiny wall round the garden in which vegetables would be grown. I never met either of these grandparents. William came to Glasgow, it is true, like John Murray II, and found it an evil place, and trekked back to his own croft at Bonner Bridge. It is interesting that both sets of grandparents had each families consisting of 10 children. My father was the youngest of 10. That meant that he and his eldest sister had a gap of probably 16 years between them, so that by the time he came to Glasgow at the age of about 16, his eldest sister had probably left for America without him ever meeting her. At any rate, that is my present assumption. It is of some interest that every member of the family married either a Highland mate or one born at any rate north of a line joining Glasgow and Edinburgh. These mates came from Rosshire, Sutherlandshire, Skye, Arran, Paisley and Glasgow. None at all from Edinburgh. My father came to Glasgow in the year 1882, as shown by an entry on the back of his birth certificate. He was then 16 years of age. When he retired from his permanent job with Stuart MacDonald's many years later, I found that there was an unexplained gap in his life as to what he may have done between the age of 16 when he arrived in Glasgow and 18 when he began his apprenticeship with Stuart and MacDonald's, a big wholesale warehouse firm. I made persistent inquiries to fill this gap and ultimately learned from a cousin, Helen Buchanan, that she thought he had worked in a public house in Eglinton Street, Glasgow, for an older brother whose name was Andrew Mackay. And while working there, he had achieved considerable skill in, for example, dealing out cards. This story may have some truth in it. This same Andrew, I may say, married a beautiful woman called Mary Campbell, who died before he did. He was always getting into trouble with the police and being got out of trouble by his older brother, John, who was a member of the police force. My father worked with Stuart MacDonald's, first as an apprentice and then in later stages, until he became a buyer for the firm, specializing in his newly acquired knowledge of flannels, blankets, and later on of quilts. There are big gaps in everybody's parents' lives unknown to the children. I know very little of what my father enjoyed doing until he married my mother, Mary Lindsay. He has recorded that he used to go out to the suburbs of Glasgow with a piper and some friends, and they would march up and down and, or sit on a bank enjoying the pipe music. About the age of 20 or so, he joined a dancing class for young ladies and gentlemen, and there he met my mother. He probably had a very, very small wage at that time. His wage as an apprentice rose from 5 shillings to 10 shillings in 3 years per week. He was engaged to my mother, or pledged at any rate to her, for some 6 or 7 years before marriage. I rather fancy that the Lindsays may have considered themselves a little bit superior to the Mackays, and perhaps with justice, because they were a very musical, talented lot, especially with the violin and piano, and many a sing-song I attended as a boy at the house of my Lindsay grandparents. At any rate, at the end of the 7 years they were married in 1895, and I was born in 1896 at an address called 42 Bank Street, Hillhead. This was in a part of the town which was reasonably fashionable. They had a flat for a year or two or three there, but I remember nothing of those days. Many, many years later, I looked in at 42 Bank Street and found the name Mackay on a shop run by a tailor, but it had no connection with our family. I expect that has long since gone. When I would be 3 or 4 years of age, we moved to 138 Cambridge Drive to another flat, larger and better, placed on the top of a hill. My memories there are a bit sketchy. I began to engage in youthful diversions, for which I was frequently reprimanded and even spanked. I remember getting a thorough belting for cleaning the windows of the flat, which was a second story flat, with my legs dangling over the window ledge. Another incident I remember associated with that was a boy sledging down on the pavement and wrapping himself round a lamppost. He bust his spleen and died. From Cambridge Drive, we moved probably about, when I was about the age of 7, to Blytheswood Drive, to number 11, where a new school had been opened in the vicinity. This I attended until I would be somewhere about 12 or 13 years of age. My parents had educational problems, which are common today. And when my time was up at Willowbank School, they moved as near as possible to Hillhead High School, to a flat at number 9 Strathmore Gardens, later called number 41 Hillhead Street. This was really not much of a flat, but the rent was £40 per year, a big rent, which represented a very considerable fraction of my father's income at the time. It had, however, for me the great advantage of being within half a mile of the school and later on within the same distance of the University Students' Union, so that I could reach either place by running hard well inside 5 minutes. I had several friendships then, one of them being Robert Patterson, whom I visited 2 or 3 times when in America with Margaret, and who was very kind indeed to Granny and to you, your mother and her sister and brothers during the late war. Apart from Patterson, there was only one other man with whom I ever had any contact in those school days. This was a quartermaster who recognized me during the Second War in 1944 when I joined his hospital staff. I did not remember the man at all, probably, I think, because I had unconsciously forgotten that we had had a fight in the lane at the back of the school in which he had torn my collar. At any rate, we were very good friends during our joint service with the hospital. I may say he had 10 children. in Hillhead High School, I really enjoyed myself. We had a splendid English master who had a great admiration for the poems of Browning. I learned all the facts of sex partly at Willowbank School and partly at Hillhead High School. Although our English master, Mr. Haddo, was an expert indeed on Browning's philosophy of love, I have no recollection of him ever using the word sex in any lesson. I've been in a pleasant correspondence with Mr. Haddo's son lately. Apparently, he is researching on the poetry of Rob Don, who was the Mackay poet, and whose poetry was sometimes inspired by a girl called Isabel Mackay. Unfortunately, at school, I contracted suddenly an attack of tuberculous peritonitis, which put me out of school for about 6 months. At the age of 16, I sat and passed my grade A in English, maths, and some other subject with quite a considerable degree of ease. At the age of 17, I was put in again for the same examination and just got through. Owing to my illness, I stayed on for a further year at school, being almost the only boy in my class of some half a dozen girls. I was put in for the third time for these certificates and did so badly that at the end of the examination I was sent down to the headmaster's room where I was interrogated by His Majesty's inspector and by the headmaster as to my performance at English. I had been able to repeat the whole of the Ancient Mariner by heart without an error. I did that once for a penny from my father. But at this examination, all I could remember was the quotation of the lines, "The ice was here, the ice was there, the ice was all around. It cracked and growled and roared and howled like noises in a swarm." Well, I got through. Then that would be June 1914, and I was very interested in the political situation at that time. My mother had not enjoyed very good health, and when war broke out, I was anxious indeed to join the army, but because of the situation at home, I was really not allowed to do so by my father. Finally, I went to the Royal Technical College for a year and matriculated at the same time as a student at the university, taking chemistry, maths, and mat phil. These examinations I passed. However, in 1915, I left the officers' training corps and told my father I could wait at home no longer and that he must sign my papers for a commission. This he did with the greatest reluctance and sorrow, saying he would rather sign a cheque for £1,000 than sign this particular document. I was commissioned in August 1915 to the Reserve Battalion of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, my own personal choice. Then, about a year later, I went to France towards the end of the campaign on the Somme. My life thereafter was a disturbed one. We were never in any billet or one place for as long as a week. Sometimes we might be sleeping or trying to sleep in half a dozen places in half a dozen nights. At any rate, the Somme campaign grew to its inevitable end in the mud and cold. I remember we were in tents in Bécour Dell, a tiny one-time village in the Somme, where conditions were exceedingly hard. Thereafter, one served in the Third Battle of Arras, in the Third Battle of Ypres. Later, in March 1918, we were in retreat, again in front of Arras. Then we were sent down to the area of Champagne, and attached to a French army, and began to make an advance there. We came back in August to the region round Luz, where the battalion had suffered heavy casualties at the First Battle of Luz.